Scripture reading this morning is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I'll be reading verses 18 through 25. This morning we are returning to a passage that I spoke on 3 years ago in a series of messages that focused on our church vision statement. And since we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians, and since we are going to have a brief ceremony following this service to dedicate our newly expanded building, I thought it would be good to revisit some of the things that we talked about back then. So if you hear some things you heard before, this will be a good reminder. And if you haven't heard these things, I encourage you to listen. These are things that the Lord has laid on our hearts as a congregation, and that with his help, we are seeking to pursue. So let's hear God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning at verse 18. Paul says, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. In the law it is written, 'By people of strange tongues and by the lips of foreigners will I speak to this people, and even then they will not listen to me,' says the Lord. Thus tongues are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers, while prophecy is a sign not for unbelievers, but for believers. If therefore the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues, and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are out of your minds? But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an outsider enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so, falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you." May God add his blessing to this reading of his word. So in just a little bit, today we dedicate the beautiful new space that God has given to us. It was designed with a vision in mind. We were looking for a building that would help facilitate our vision to be a church that is gathering a community to live for Christ. And an important aspect of living for Christ is to be a going church. A church that is seeking to make disciples or followers of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus, of course, did not need a building to make disciples. We see him teaching outside to crowds of thousands. But he did at times use buildings. He would meet in synagogues and in people's homes and in the courts of the temple. And God has now provided us with this new addition to our building to do the same. By God's grace, we want to use this new space to carry on and even increase the ministry of word and deed that God has entrusted to us. When we were forming our vision statement with our emphasis on being a going church, we saw that as a quality that we wanted present in every aspect of our ministry, even down to our church building. It's our prayer that our building will be a pleasant place to gather and to welcome outsiders, a place where the word of Christ will be heard, it will be discussed, it will be a place where making and growing disciples will take place. In the passage that we just read, the Apostle Paul speaks about the gatherings of these Corinthian Christians. And he says that they ought to be welcoming events, gatherings where outsiders would feel welcome and receive a blessing. This morning, I'd like to focus on two things as we think about how we will use our new space. It should first be a place where the message of Christ is heard. And second, it should be a place where God's compassion is conveyed. So first, a place where the message of Christ is heard. The Apostle Paul is giving instructions to the believers at Corinth about the proper use of spiritual gifts. That's what he's doing in this section of his letter. And one of those gifts is the ability to speak in tongues. Now, we're not going to get into a discussion about tongue speaking this morning. We'll come back to this chapter later on as we continue to make our way through the letter. Right now, I'll just say that there are differences of opinion about this. But I think that we can all agree that speaking in tongues was an ability to speak in a language that, number one, was not native to the speaker, and two, that it could be a language that was not even understood by the one who was speaking it. In the first part of this chapter, Paul says that speaking in a tongue should not take place when the church is gathered unless there is someone there who can interpret what is said. And the reason for this is that the goal in view is the benefit or the edification of others. If no one understands what's said, then there can be no mutual edification going on. I used this example the last time I preached on this passage. Some years ago, Kathy and I went to a building dedication service for a Korean church in Lansdale. Kathy had some junior high chorus students who belonged to that church, and they invited us to come to the dedication. Well, the entire service was in Korean. There was singing, vigorous praying, and lively preaching. People seemed happy. They were very engaged. But we didn't understand a thing that was said. Now, after the service, we enjoyed some good English-speaking fellowship and great Korean food, but we had been unable to benefit from most of what happened in the service itself. Now, according to Paul, the ability to understand what is said in church gatherings is essential to the mission of the church. The faith that we have is not mindless. It's not an irrational expression of emotion. Emotions are involved, but they arise out of what we know about God, know about his works of creation and his work of salvation through Christ. And we only gain this knowledge if we understand what is spoken. Faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. In the verses we read, Paul is concerned about the outsider who happens to attend the church. What benefit will there be to this visitor if he or she can't understand what's said? At best, they'll leave the church service clueless about what just happened. And at worst, Paul says, they'll think that Christians are out of their minds. What would we think, right, if we walked into a meeting of people whose native language was English, but everyone who stood up and spoke in a language that no one, including the speakers, understood? Right? We'd say, this is crazy. What's the point? Paul is saying that if the Corinthians are not connecting with visitors, then an important purpose of the church gathering has not been met. He's telling them that when they gather, they are not there just to worship God. They are there for that, but not just for that. They are not there just to be edified. Rather, they are also gathered for the purpose of making disciples of other people who are not yet Christians. They're gathered together also for outsiders, for seekers, for inquirers, for skeptics. And this important dimension should not be forgotten. There's to be an important aspect of grace to their gatherings. Grace that is directed toward those who do not yet know God or Jesus. The hope is that when visitors hear and understand the things that are said, they will, as Paul says in verses 24 and 25, he says that they will be convicted, called to account. The secrets of their hearts will be revealed to them. And as a result, they'll be brought to worship God and declare that God is in their midst. I read the personal testimony of a man who attended a church service just to see what it was all about. He was not a Christian at the time. And as the minister began to preach, the man became more and more uncomfortable. His palms became sweaty. He began to look around the room to see if anybody was looking at him, because he was convinced that the preacher was speaking directly to him, even though they had never met. Now, looking back on his experience, he's now convinced that it was the Spirit of God working in him through the words of this minister. If the pastor had been speaking in a foreign language, his words would have been lost on this man. But because the man could understand what was said, he was confronted by the reality of God and by the person of Jesus, and he was moved to believe. And so one goal that we should have as a going community, a community that is intentional about making disciples of Jesus Christ, one goal that we should have is to be heard and to be understood as we bring and present the word of Christ to others. We've been working now for some time on how we speak about the things of Christ when we're gathered together. Sometimes I can use theological terms that don't communicate with others, or we can use expressions that sound odd to the ears of others. Like any group, the church can fall into ways of speaking that can almost sound like tongue speaking to those who are outside the community. And so if our goal is that the word that God has entrusted to us be understood by others, then we need to be conscious of who our audience is and make an effort to speak in ways that will make outsiders feel included. Are we being thoughtful about outsiders when we speak? In our worship services, in our classes, in our Bible studies, in our informal times of fellowship, are we helping people to know Jesus? And this brings us to the second point, that this new space that God has given to us would be a place where God's compassion is conveyed. Paul is saying that to speak the message of salvation in a foreign tongue to someone who does not believe, well, that's a sign of judgment and not an act of compassion and mercy or grace. It's a sign of judgment on his unbelief. It's a sign that the time for talk and for reasoning together has passed. That final judgment has now been rendered, and no further opportunity for repentance or escape will be given. That's what Paul means in verse 22, where he says that tongues are a sign for unbelievers. And by unbelievers here, he means those who have resisted God's persistent and gracious offer of salvation. Those who refuse to listen to the Lord. And we see that in verse 21, the Old Testament passage that Paul quotes here is God's warning to Old Testament Israel. It appears in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 28 and verse 11. It's speaking there about the coming invasion of a foreign nation that God will allow to come because Israel has refused to listen to him. And so when they hear foreign tongues, they're going to know that the judgment about which God had warned was now upon them. But Paul is saying that's not how it should be with the message God is currently speaking through the church. That message is good news. It's not a declaration of judgment. It's the good news of Jesus. It's the message of salvation. It's not a sign of judgment. Jesus said, I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. And it's this attitude of compassion that we want to convey to those outside the church. We're God's ambassadors carrying his gracious invitation to all the earth to turn to him and be saved, to escape the judgment that is to come. Now, it's not that there is no message of judgment. It's not that there isn't a message of warning to bring. We don't want to neglect speaking this. But as theologian Francis Schaeffer used to say, we want to bring God's warning with tears. Jesus wept over the prospect that the city of Jerusalem would be destroyed due to Israel's stubborn resistance to God's gracious plea to return to him. And so the question for us is, do we share God's compassion for the lost? Or are we more like the prophet Jonah, who was disappointed when God did not destroy the city of Nineveh? When Christians speak with anger or with hatred or disdain toward the world, when we do that, we become judges. We take the judgment that God reserves for himself, and we take it into our own hands. But God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. God has his timing. He has his day reserved when his anger will be unleashed against those who have refused his offer. But now is not that day. Now is the day of salvation. And so while God does indeed warn, he speaks with kindness, he speaks with compassion, he woos, he pleads, he reasons, he offers pardon to all who will repent and believe in his Son, wishing, the Bible says, that none would perish. God says he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they turn from their way and live. And that should be our attitude as well. In our conversations with one another, do we express this compassion and love for those who do not know Christ? It's so easy to become frustrated and even angry when we see the sometimes blatant disregard for God and for His Word. But our attitude should be that of Christ Jesus, who came to serve and not to be served, who came to save and not to judge. Our hearts should be hearts of compassion, and our deepest desire should be for their salvation. So let's be careful how we think of others and how we speak of them. Kindness and mercy should govern our thoughts and our speech, and that should be at all times, but especially when we're gathered here in this building. What we think are our private conversations, they have their ways of becoming public. So make this a matter of regular prayer. Put it on your prayer list. Ask God to give you a heart of compassion for all people, and especially for those outside the community of Christ. And let's pray for and encourage one another in this. You pray for me, and I'll pray for you. We cannot be a going church if we do not go with God's compassion. That's what the gospel, God's good news, is all about. It's about God's love for a lost and rebellious people, a love and compassion that is so great that He sent His one and only Son to give His life to save this people. So as we seek to be a going church, as we seek to use this building to carry out that vision, let's speak the word of Christ so that people first can understand it, and then let's speak it with the love and compassion that God Himself has demonstrated in His Son. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You that You have loved us enough to speak to us. You have sent Your Son, the very Word of God Himself, to bring us good news of Your love, of Your compassion, of Your salvation. We thank You, Lord, that He did not just announce this, but He Himself brought it about through His own sacrificial death. Lord, help us to be bold in our own witness as we speak with others about the great things that You have done. Thank You for Mary's story earlier in this service. And we pray, Lord, that You will give us a boldness to be sharing our stories with others. And we pray, Lord, for those hearts that are broken because we see a world that is headed for destruction. So many people made in Your image. Lord, teach us, move us, help us to be Your ambassadors in this world, and to use this place that You have given to us to serve in this community, to use it for these ends. We look to You, Lord, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.